It's all about transformation. Going to a church service will never change the world. Being transformed will change the world. And the reason he said we're to go to a church service and gather ourselves is to stir ourselves in love and good works. Going to church isn't our Christian duty. It's our joy to come together and stay focused and fixed on why we're here. Yeah? So the whole reason we assemble ourselves together is for the purpose of stirring ourselves in love and good works. I just promise you, another church service will never change the community, but transforms lives will. The biggest trap of a church is turning inward and trying to have better services instead of teaching their people how to live transformed every day. Sometimes we turn inward and we just minister to everybody's pain and hurt, and we think it's the will of God to just try to keep everybody fixed. No, it's the will of God to change things and see everybody transform. You're not as broken as you think, and you don't have to be broke as much as you think. Yeah. I'm serious. So I don't know why I'm coming out like this, but I hope you hear me. I just go where I go. Never really have a plan. But we always got something to say. Listen, the biggest trap, I don't know if there's pastors here, and I'm just talking as a fellow pastor, but the biggest trap of us pastors, especially when we're local pastors, is turning inward and just trying to find ways to have better church, better worship, and create an atmosphere that people want to come to. Our whole goal is to live transformed. Our whole goal is to leave here looking more like Him than when we came. Our whole goal is trying to understand and establish inside of the hearts of everyone that comes of who we are and why, so that thing motivates us every day and keeps us on focus and on point. Amen? Man, if you can understand, I hear so many people asking questions about why life and why this, and you know. And, man, without Jesus, life's an experiment. And it's every man to himself. Without Jesus, with Jesus, there's total purpose and understanding when He's preached clear. Come on, He's the light of the world. He's the way, not a way. He's the truth, not a truth. So when you look at Jesus' life lived, He showed us what life looks like in the Father, and He said, follow me. He didn't just say, pray to me when you're in trouble. He said, follow me. Come on. He's not just our suffering Savior. He didn't just shed His blood to forgive our sins. He modeled life for us. He fulfilled what Adam failed, and He showed us what we were created to be and said, follow me. And then He put His own Spirit that raised Him from the dead in us to make it possible. And then religion is going to say no, and man's tradition is going to say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. What about the hope of glory, Christ in us? And if you're not careful, you'll put on this false humility that denies the power of God and yet proclaims Him powerful. Be very careful with that stuff. Look, I haven't seen enough in my life, but I've seen too much to change my mind. Folks that get trapped in the thing I'm talking about have very little spiritual expression and Christian testimony in their life. They just have doctrine. Guys, you're not here. Girls, you're not here just to get doctrine. Healthy doctrine is good. A sound foundation is good. But a transformed life and an intimacy and relationship with Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit is what it's all about. Amen? Yeah. We don't need to just quote the Bible. We need to become the Word. The Word becomes flesh. I tell people, you don't even know the Word until you become it. You can preach it your whole life and never manifest it. You can preach the gospel and go to bed with hardness in your heart and anger. And you can boast and lie against the truth. That's not a wise man. A wise man becomes like him. This thing's all about transformation, people. And guys, it's possible. No matter where you've come from, no matter where you've been, it's possible. Because the only reason you were where you were is because you didn't know who you were. And the only reason God didn't change is because He did know and never lost sight. No matter how bad your choices and how relentless your choices and how willful your choices, He knew that one day, if He keeps wooing and loving, you could turn and see and understand, and He would be there the same, the one that's loved you from the beginning. Come on, man, that's a big deal. Yes. No one's loved us like this. No one has stayed fixed on our destiny like this. Men have been broken in their trust by us. Women have been broken to family members. They can't handle it anymore. We've burnt bridges. We know all those phrases, what they mean, because most of us have done that at some level. You can't burn any bridge with God. He laid the bridge. His name's Jesus. And ain't nobody blowing that bridge up, buddy. But But this gospel I'm about to preach tonight, don't anybody get scared about it, especially if you're a pastor. Listen up. For some reason, I feel like there's leaders here and pastors that popped in on us. And I'm not projecting on you. I want you to be encouraged to listen carefully, because what I'm about to preach, I've found in 20 years of Christianity and 17 years of pastoring at a full-time level and 8 years of traveling, that what I'm about to preach, a lot of people are afraid to preach because they feel like it's going to empower people to live loose or weak, and it's the total opposite when it's preached clear. Sometimes pastors are afraid that if they preach the love of God or the righteousness of God, it'll teach people to sin and get away with it and say, oh, well, at least He loves me. That is never what I preach. Amen. I haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free from it. Amen. And it's possible. The biggest problem in the body of Christ, in my opinion, which isn't always safe to share, but I'm qualifying it, it's my belief, one of the major problems is we identify ourselves with our ability to fail. We identify ourselves as failures. With our ability to sin, we identify ourselves as sinners. Then the tree's never made good and the fruit's always in question. Did you catch what I just said? We're afraid to preach righteousness and believe we can live holy lives by the grace of God because we relate so much to our ability to fail, and we think it's humble to keep that held high as if that's going to lift God up. But God lifted us up to where He is and told us to live from the heavenly places. Is that hypo-spiritual or is that possible? It says, if you receive the abundance of grace, that free gift of righteousness, it's Romans 5:17, oh, it's there. It's powerful. If you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, you will reign as king in this realm of life. As a king. That's incredible language. He's King of Kings. I always wondered who those kings were. He's King of Kings. Well, who's the kings? People receiving grace and righteousness, reigning in the realm of life, passing through every trial, every adversity, everything, and being unfazed, never letting sin against them have the right to produce sin in them, but overcoming evil with good. Never just being an issue-driven person and a he said, she said, tit-for-tat Christian, just another hurt person that goes to church. But a person that's been changed by the very one that created him in His image. A person that put off the old and put on the new is renewed in knowledge. Colossians 3:10. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. That's a Christian. It's a big deal. We don't need more hurt Christians on the earth. We don't need more people just living up and down proclaiming His name. He didn't come for that. And if you're struggling through that, there's just a way to get deeper understanding and have better results. I'm not putting you down. I'm not saying you're a weak Christian. We're just misunderstanding sometimes. And in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, in all you're getting, get understanding. He didn't say in all you're getting in Proverbs 4, get blessing. He didn't say in all you're getting, get favor. He didn't say in all you're getting, get more money. He said in all you're getting, get understanding. It must be important. I bet what we don't know is destroying us. I read that somewhere. Like Hosea 4:6. And verse 7 says, and I gave them the knowledge, and they've rejected it. Guess who the knowledge is? He's the truth. And His name is Jesus. And He's the way to follow, not pray to. The life He lived, we can follow or He'd never ask us to. It says He's the firstborn among many. He's the visible image of the invisible God. When you see Him, you've seen the Father. He declared to us all things that are His and told Holy Spirit to give them all to us. Why? To empower us to do the same. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And we get trapped fighting over theology. Spend your whole life fighting over that stuff and never manifest the heart of God. And find that the Scriptures are true. Knowledge puffs you up. It's love that edifies. You guys all right? For some reason, I'm hanging in the middle tonight. We all good? We ready to roll with this thing? Because I'm going to preach the gospel. Pastor Mark won't get shook up. He's going to hang on it and say yes and amen because I've been hanging around him. I know what he believes. But I'm telling you, a lot of leaders get nervous about what I'm about to preach because we don't understand how God sees us through the sun, and we relate to our ability to fail so much that we think it's humble to keep holding on to that. I didn't wake up to fail today. But if I would stumble into a moment of weakness, I simply run to Him and make it right and realize I'm more than that in Him and He's more than that in me. And instead of separating myself from Him and putting on fig leaves, I wear my righteousness and run to Him, and I get wiser and sharper and smarter than before. Come on, the day of fig leaves is over. The day of hiding and ashamed is over. Come on, you see righteousness in Genesis chapter 3. Already, three chapters in, He's revealing His plan for righteousness. We think it's the blood sacrifice. We think that those animal skins is all about the blood sacrifice. And it is. Animals had to shed their blood to get those skins. Remember in the Bible how Adam and Eve were in fig leaves and God removed their fig leaves and put on animal skins? And everybody preaches the blood covenant, and they're right. But it's another message. It's a message of righteousness, of right standing with God. Come on, if God doesn't take off their fig leaves, what are they conscious of every time they look at themselves? If God doesn't take off their fig leaves, what do they think every time they look at themselves? The day they missed God, the day they sinned. Every time they have to make new ones and cover themselves again, it's man's frail attempt to cover himself of his failure. But how'd that work when God showed up? They ran. But if God takes them clothes off and puts clothes on Himself made by His own hands, He's pointing to the cross. He's pointing to the day when men would stand robed in righteousness. It was a point and a shadow pointing to the day we would be changed forever through His judgment of righteousness. Now what happens every day? They see them animal skins. They don't think about the day they sinned. They think about the day God redeemed and gave a promise and said there's a seed coming someday. Gave them a hope, gave them a future, and said, I love you. And there was a price to pay for the thing they did, but yet God gave them hope and gave them a promise of redemption. So He took off their clothes and put on the clothes that He wanted on them. And it made them think of Him instead of them. And it got them off of sin and onto hope and a future. Come on, it's called the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The trap is when a man thinks he can attain that himself, when a man thinks more highly of himself than he ought, that is simply... That's not what I'm about to preach. Everything I preach will be so rock solid with Scripture, there'll be no way out till I'm done. If there's a scholar in the room, get your pen and get ready, because there'll be no way out. It's too rock solid. I've asked the Lord for years when you weren't with me in my bedroom to help me to preach to where there's no way out, to where every puzzle is the piece just lays together and there's a beautiful picture and there's no way to rebut it. Every door gets closed and you're boxed in with truth. I'm telling you, that's going to happen tonight. I feel it and I'm pumped. He took them fig leaves off because He didn't want them conscious of sin. He wanted their eyes fixed on Him and future and promise. If you look at the Old Testament for years, generations passed by, and it was man living in his own strength under a law, apart from that righteousness before Christ came. And it was a tutor. That whole law was a tutor to bring us to Christ so we see our need for a Savior and salvation and redemption and new life. Come on, why do we get water baptized? Is it an ordinance? Is it just an obedient act to God's word? Oh my goodness, it's so much more. You're going into the water and it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're going in just like He went in. Your whole body goes under like they put Him in the grave. You die in the likeness of the death of Jesus. You get baptized into His death so you can raise in the newness of life. You die to everything you've ever been. You die to sin once for all. You reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. You come out of the water and a spirit of grace comes upon you to change things because you believe it. It is not an ordinance. It is a transformation of life. If we die in the likeness of His death, surely we'll be raised in the power of His resurrection. Since the death He died to sin once for all. The life He lives unto God. You likewise reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. It's not blasphemy. It's Romans 6:11. See, we think our ability to sin labels us as sinners. His righteous judgment changes you forever. Him seeing you through the sun makes the tree good. When you believe it, your life changes. Yeah? So if you don't start where He finished, you'll never run well. You'll try to accomplish something that's already done. I'll preach it good. This gospel is designed to change our lives, not make us feel better. It's designed to change our lives. Yeah? Yeah. I feel happy preaching righteousness. Wow. You snuck one in on me there. I'll have to read that. Romans 1. My wife does that stuff to me. She slips pictures in my Bible. I'm in a church preaching in front of folks and I turn to a picture or a note. One time I was reading out of Genesis. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and the light was good. I'm in a church preaching. I said, "I need you to see something about God and God creating God." I went to the scripture, and there was these little white out pieces of tape over the word light, and Dan was written over everyone. It said, "God said, let there be Dan," and there was Dan, and God saw Dan, and Dan was good. It was that girl right over there. She slipped that into my mouth. I'm trying to preach, and I said, "And God said, let there be light," and there was light, and I was like, "Look, guys, I got to just tell you what's going on right now." I said, "My wife snuck my name in there everywhere he said light, because he said, 'Ye are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they see your life live before God and glorify the Father.'" Why is that so hard to understand? It's in the Bible. It's your created inheritance. It's your value. It's your destiny. Why would we let religion try to quench that and tradition stuff that when Christ in us is the hope of glory? That word glory means the manifestation of God. So the Christ in me is the hope of making Him known and seen. I read that book, man. I have spent time with Him. Never been to Bible school. I'm not against Bible school. But I promise you, I've been with Him when you weren't there. I promise you, I shut that door. And I met with Him more than you can imagine. And I asked Him things and He showed me things. He put some consistent stuff in me. I'm excited about it. And what you see in the secret, guess what you do when they hand you a microphone? You shout it from the rooftop. And if you don't have a microphone, guess what you do? Shout it from the rooftop. You'll see the fun I have on airplanes. You're seatbelted beside them. They can't. I had never had no one go out of one of them round windows. They're sitting there against the wall and they say, "How are you doing?" I start to tell them. It's like a pool cord doll. "How are you doing?" If you're going to pull my cord, I'm going to talk. If you don't pull it again, I'm already fired up. I'll just pull it. Heaven's God. True story, not exaggeration. I've had flight attendants come and ask the people sitting beside me if they're okay because they're crying so hard. Or if they need their seat moved. One cried so hard 3 times, the lady's indignant. She said, "I need to move you, ma'am. This man's bothering you." She hooked my arm, laid her head on my shoulder and said, "No, I'm not moving. He's helping me like you have no idea." You want those testimonies in your life. Because you have a living God in your spirit. You're sitting beside her and you look at her and you say, she doesn't tell you a thing, people. And you look at her and say, "You know Crohn's disease is no match for Jesus." And she cries uncontrollably because she's sitting there with the disease. Come on, you can't pull that out of a hat. You look at 1,000 people and they look at you cockeyed. But I looked at her and said it and she fell apart. Why? He knows her. He's in me and I believe. Yeah, and guess what else? Not just gifting, not just anointing qualifies me on that. It's love that qualifies me for that. Look, you can strive and pray for that kind of gift all you want in your life, but the easy way has become love. Get in agreement with His heart. The Lord told me this a long time ago in my bedroom. He said, "Dan, I can tell myself anything. You become one with me and you're in." Whoa. Did you get that? That was good, wasn't it? He said, "Dan, I can tell myself anything. I can entrust myself with anything. because of the beauty and integrity of who I am in love. And Dan, if you get in agreement with me, you're in. I can tell you whatever I need, whenever I need. I've been in open public and talked to young ladies about being touched by an uncle wrong. That's touchy. And watch them cry uncontrollably and let me hold them and watch God heal them in a parking lot. You want that in your life.
Yes.
You want to slide over to her and you say, honey, don't you get afraid, but I know what your uncle did to you when you were 5. And it is not the truth about your life. You want that in your life. So either I'm lying and making this up and I'm a sicko and I need help and I don't fear God, or these things happen. You'll have to decide that, but time will tell. That was awesome, wasn't it? Woo! Are we all right? I'm not being arrogant. He's given us the privilege to know him. And I'm not asking you to compare yourself to me. I'm saying this stuff is possible. You want to sit on a plane and not just be overwhelmed by flying and is my flight on time and my connection. And you want to love not your own life unto death and think of others more highly than yourself and consider the interest of others and not only your own. You want to realize there's a world around you that might not know him, and you've been getting privileged to know him at some level, so you want to give what you know. And you're asking for that privilege all the time. Isn't that sweet? You're sitting on a plane with so many people, guys, that tell you they don't go to church anymore because of their church hurt. And the church, and I know with a lot of people it becomes an excuse, it's a lie, and it's a deception. It's not a slam on the church, but people believe it enough to let it limit their life. And then you're sitting there talking to them and you ask them, well, what about a relationship with Jesus? Well, what does that, I understand what you're saying about that, but what's any of that have to do with the beauty of who God is, or have you judged him through that? And then you begin to talk to them and you'd be amazed how quick they cry. I'm talking cry on a plane because they realize they're being robbed of the most beautiful thing, knowing him. Guys, that's why we're on the planet, to know him and take on him and become like him and manifest him and make him known. We didn't come up with the name Body of Christ. It's in your Bible. The Body of Christ means the embodiment of Christ. We embody him. He lives in our body. He speaks through our mouths. He looks through our eyes. We're one with him. This is not some spiritual position. It's an everyday reality through the person of Holy Spirit. Jesus can tell you that someone had an accident 4 years ago and had this happen, and they're in the room. Come on.
Yeah.
I was in the subway getting my sandwich made, and I said, honey, about 3 years ago, real bad stuff happened. I don't know if it was a car wreck, but something here. You fell, but you have a pinched nerve, and you haven't been right for years. And she said, oh, my God. She's trying to ring up my... Now she's... Ooh. I said, is this true? She said, it's like exactly 3 years. The other little girl making sandwiches is just staring. She said, that's incredible. How did you know that? I said, his name's Jesus. He loves you. It's going to get a lot better. Give me your hand. We prayed over the counter. People waiting to get their sandwiches made. It's good for them to watch love. They don't want to watch a lot of Christian TV. So they probably ought to just watch love in Subway. Because Jesus is where you are. She reaches her hand and I pray with her and I said, check yourself. And she's just crying, oh my God, oh my God. And then she grabs her little friend and says, here, can you pray for her? She's afraid. She's in pain all through her body, doesn't know what's wrong. She's afraid to get checked. She's afraid it's something bad. Just a little tiny thing. She barely looks 18. I said, she's... prayed. As soon as they were done with customers, guess what they did? They ran around the counter like little kids and jumped in our booth with us and just sat and talked and asked questions. I'll be honest, the pastor with me just cried and cried and cried. And he said, I went out on the streets to pray for the sick years ago, got discouraged and gave up. In fact, I'm not even pastoring anymore. He said, my heart's become hard. I felt like God wasn't doing his part. He said, I just realized today I missed the most important important element of all, I didn't go with love. If you don't go with love, don't go at all. But if you become love, you won't help going. Love has an expression. Y'all good? Let's do what I feel like I need to do tonight. I want you to see this Romans 1. Would you go there? Are you guys good? I already know in my heart we're going to pray for the sick tonight. Don't just wait for that. Make sure you really listen to what we're preaching tonight, because it's the reason God heals the sick. What I'm preaching tonight is the reason we can believe for healing. It's called the forgiveness of sins. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. Man's not getting what he deserves. He's getting what Jesus paid for. You say, yeah, but a man reaps what he sows. When his heart repents, he reaps what Jesus sowed. You can stay old covenant if you want. I'd rather you come over in the new covenant, New Testament, through his blood. Everything about the old is pointing you to the new. So if you can't find Jesus in your interpretation of the old, you probably ought to come over to the new and find him there first, so you can rightly see this here. Come on. He said, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have life. If you don't, you won't by any means have life. What's he talking about? If you partake of the benefit and blessing and the accomplishment of my flesh and my blood, you'll walk in it. We fight over it. He said, eat of it. Be honest, we fight over it. He said, eat of it. We have things that haven't happened. We have loved ones that died when we pray. And analytically, we get our hearts in a bind and we talk in language that doesn't line up here. We draw back and never get established. So love never gets settled. We're never rooted and grounded in love. And that's a problem, because faith works through love. Faith doesn't work because you have a problem. Faith works because you have a covenant. Come on. Man doesn't have faith because he has a problem. Man has faith because he has a covenant with God and knows the heart of God. And faith is the spontaneous result of knowing him. You're not trying to have faith. Faith is, because it works through love, and you're rooted and grounded in it. Because the I love you of God was settled when Christ was crucified, not when you had a car wreck or lost a loved one or got laid off. Those things challenge God's love in our life analytically and have nothing to do with his love. They're just circumstances that you're called to shine through. The love of God is revealed through Christ crucified. Period. It's settled. If that's not the case, how could you ever be rooted and grounded in love? If you let life circumstances define God's love, no wonder we're in turmoil. We're on a roll and we're like, yay, I got favor. Yay, God loves me. And then we get hit with three crises in a week and we're crying on our bed saying, God, where are you? I thought you loved me. That is the wrong question, because then faith is subverted. You're at odds. You think God's failing. You think you failed. That's not relationship. That's not faith. That's just another desperate person praying. Come on, it's good when somebody comes and talks like this to y'all. It's when you understand covenant and all those things happen in a week. And you say, God, I'm so glad you're for me and in with me. And you've given me a response to all these things. I'm not a laid off person, bound and deceived and can't sleep at night. As quick as the door closed, one will open. I found favor in your sight. I don't even need prayer. I've got you, and I declare, God, I have favor with you. You know I got bills. You know I have a budget. God, why would I have to get on 20 prayer chains and turn it into fear? Why would I lay awake all night and toss and turn? You love me. You're for me and for my family. Man, I didn't see this layoff coming, but I'm glad I see you. So I just can't wait to see what you have in store for me. I'm going to knock on a few doors and you're going to cause me to find favor. Thank you for always making a way. And now you're pumping gas and Jimmy walks by. Hey, how you doing? And getting laid off isn't the story of your day. And all of a sudden, getting laid off isn't your new identity. Why? Because you're not living like a person laid off. You're in covenant with Almighty God. And he's got your life in his hand, and it's going to work out because you believe it. Come on, that's how we live, church. I'm telling you, we've left everything to decide how we're doing. Everything but him sometimes if we're not careful. Guys, you got to be very careful. You're on a roll. You're getting encouraged. Some of you, it'd be safe to say, truly encouraged for the first time in your life. Is that true? Who would say that's true for some of you? I mean, who would relate to that comment? It's not everybody, but it's a handful that you actually are truly encouraged for the first time in your life. And you actually see a hope, a purpose, and a future. Who is that? Let me see your hands. See, it's a bunch of you. Now watch. There's so much out there trying to crush that, trying to get you to second guess that, trying to come in and take the wind out of your sails and get you to think you were just hyped up or just dreaming. And all of a sudden, get your eye on something that doesn't mean everything. He means everything. All of a sudden, a detail, just a person, an action, a failed expectation. And all of a sudden, your heart's slipping. And all of a sudden, like, man, I thought. And all of a sudden, you start resting your identity on the facts of life instead of the truth of life. And all of a sudden, you got circumstances speaking louder than truth, but truth is what makes you free. Oh, come on. I'm talking to you. So don't you let anything, you're in the right place, you're encouraged for the first time. It's because you're seeing something right. Let it keep growing and don't let anything change that. You get rooted and grounded in love because it ain't never going to fail. And the I love you of God isn't dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent on covenant and the cross. God never promised you you'd never get laid off. But He promised to give you a perspective that causes you to shine in the face of it and be an impact. He never told us we had to be weak and become what we're going through. We become what He went through so we can see everything clear. Come on. Y'all getting this? I'm trying to get to this and I keep walking away and going back to wherever I'm going. Happens to me all the time. I get a good plan and it just never works. But we are going here. It's just taking us a while. The reason we pray for the sick is because sins are forgiven. The reason we have access to God is because He made us right in His sight. It's the doing of God. He predestined us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. How did He glorify us? By filling us with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's an honor. That must make you worthy. Everybody's going to say, we're not worthy. You're not worthy apart from the finished work of Christ, but you're worthy now that He's come. Put it on. And get past the traditions of men. What do you mean you're not worthy? He wouldn't have shed the blood if you weren't worthy to wear His kingdom. Nobody pays $100,000 for a $20,000 car. That's bad business. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's not worth it. A $20,000 car is not worth $100,000. You would never pay that. It's not worth it. But He shed the blood of Jesus for you. You go in a store and you got price tags on all the products and you roam around and look at the sale prices and half off and whoa, that's high. But you got 30 products and you got 30 prices. But where humanity is concerned, there's one price tag on every head and they all read the same. Why? Because every man has equal value. And every man was worth the blood to God the Father. Why would He shed the blood of His Son for you? Because He believes you're worth it. I know us folks. You don't, you ladies, you don't write the check unless you think you got a bargain. If you think it's only worth 20, you are not writing $25.95. Am I telling the truth, ladies? In fact, when you write the check, you're sure you got the bargain. When you write that check, men, for that car you went out and looked for, you're sure you took that guy down. You're wondering how he's going to eat because you broke his commission. And you're telling your wife you got the best deal in town. And if you bought that car, you're sure you got the best buy. Why? Because you believe what you're paying is worth what you're purchasing. Well, Jesus believes what He paid is worth the purchased possession. He got you for a high price. Why? Because He has a high value on you and a great destiny for you, and you have an absolute legacy to write. Come on. Or we're going to turn this into some Easter story, and Jesus just mysteriously is going to sweep us up all someday when the trumpet blows, and we'll all be with Him forever. And the whole time we're wondering why, and why He loves us so much. And I guess God's just different. I went to church till I was 20, and that's all they told me. That Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross. I started to wonder why this poor guy took such a hit for a loser like me. Did you ever think that? Because we don't preach the gospel clear. It's not good news when we preach it. It's good news. Good tidings of... See what's wrong with me? It's good tidings of great joy. Be careful you ain't just reading your Bible. Make sure you're becoming it. Your heart will come on. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? By every time you read it and see what he says about you, you start believing it. And you lift your hands and you say, God, I thank you. You've seen me this way from the beginning. Wow, I thank you. You're not mad at me. Too many people live years just believing he's got to be mad because everybody else is. Wonder if you just get along with God and say, I thank you. You're not mad at me. God, I realize now I really did fail. I really did live obstinate. I was so willful and rebellious, and yet you didn't change your mind. You knew I had a better destiny, and you stayed in position, and you wooed me back to your heart. No one's ever loved me like this. Your love is life-changing. That sure beats an Easter story that just takes you to some mysterious place called heaven someday. No, heaven wants to come back into you. We're not praying a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven's here. He said, don't you look here. Don't you look there. For the kingdom of God is in you.
He did it?
It's in you. Where is it? It's in you. He said, go preach saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is it? It's in you. That's why he told you to lay hands on the sick. Why? Because it's in you. So these signs follow those that... So if you were the enemy, wouldn't you try to frustrate their belief system? If you were the enemy, wouldn't you try to keep them in derision and make them argue over gospel stuff? Take life circumstances as fuel and the loved one that didn't get healed and the child that died, and all of a sudden we have all this case against the gospel. And all of a sudden we ain't laying our hands on nobody because we're proving we don't know what to believe. Yeah. Don't you let that happen to you. I'm not being arrogant. You watch and see how many people get healed in a minute. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not strutting around here like some rooster. Sometimes I feel that way. I'm like, ah, ah, ah. But what I'm saying is it's because I know the nature of God. And when we pray for the sick, there's folks just going to get healed through here like a sweep. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And in like 30 seconds, there's going to be a whole bunch of people, bodies changed. It's going to happen. It's got to happen because of what we see, because of the forgiveness of sins. He's not mad at us. We're not paying some price for our sins. He did that. And I'm about ready to come on. But thanks for the encouragement. As soon as you're sorry in your heart for your life, it qualifies you for righteousness. It takes away the thing you deserve. Vindicates your life. And sometimes you have to pay a price in the natural and in society, but not before God. I'm telling you, He'll judge you as if you've never sinned. I've seen God get men off of the things they earned in the natural. I heard a judge once say, it's against my better judgment. That's not the way to get reelected. It's against my better judgment to do this, but I'm going to release this young man into this program. Why did he do that? Because God knew the heart of the boy, and the heart of the king, meaning the one in authority, the judge, is in the hand of the Lord, and he'll turn it wherever he wished. And even though the judge didn't even know why he was saying what he was saying, and the best phrase he could come up with is, it's against my better judgment. It means he was confused, but he had an impression, an inclination. So he was actually living spiritual as a judge and didn't even know it. And God swayed his heart to say what God was saying. Because he was in authority, and the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and like a mighty river, he'll turn it wherever he wished. You get limited with natural knowledge all you want and say, yeah, but you got to this, and it's got to be this way because of this. No, it can be the way God says, when we walk humble, stay repentant, and trust our lives with him. Things can change. You follow me? Now watch this. Even if that boy's sentence didn't get changed and he'd have went in and had to follow through, is there a place to go into where he went and be still changed and not be the boy that put himself in there but be a changed young man? Isn't there a way to leave an impression and leave a mark, and even when he gets out, live that and stay true to that and prove to every skeptic that you can be transformed by the gospel and you're not just a jailhouse Christian? Right? And the whole time you're in there, make peace and show mercy and love? I'll bet you. So let me ask you this. So just because somebody made a mistake and got a sentence, is their life over, or do they still have purpose? Do they still have the power to influence? And can they still live in Christ just the same? Yeah. Might be a little more challenging in the natural in ways. It might be a little more precarious. But it's nonetheless the same. Christ in you, hope of glory. You get it? Be honest with me, we've allowed our circumstances to define us and decide how well we're doing and how well we can do. The Christ in you is what determines that. Don't ever forget that, people. You with me? Romans chapter 1, we're finally going there. Hallelujah. You already saw in Genesis 3 that righteousness was revealed when God changed their clothing. Isn't that awesome? It's the first evidence of righteousness in your Bible. It's already in Genesis 3. He was pointing to the day righteousness would come. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who what? Believes. Belief is a big deal, guys. Girls, belief is a big deal. Satan is out for your belief system. He loves when you stay analytical and rational and let human reasoning and human wisdom just be your discourse. He actually enjoys when people that go to church just sit at a coffee table and just debate Scripture. I think he's into that. He has no problem with you going to church. He has a problem when you believe the Word and the Word starts becoming flesh and you start looking like the Son of God. He could care less if you go to church. In fact, he just believes you'll be another person that goes to church but isn't changed. He loves that. He doesn't mind churches on every street corner. In fact, he's probably behind a lot of that. Because men find their identity in going to church instead of being transformed. Amen. Christianity isn't church attendance, it's Christ-likeness. Hello? Listen, you might want to check Matthew 25 out sometime. The only difference in the end between the sheep and the goats, it wasn't that one prayed a prayer to go to heaven and the other one didn't. That's what we preach in this country. Make sure you prayed the prayer. Hey, did you pray the prayer? What prayer? You give your life. You might want to check out Matthew 25 and make sure I'm telling the truth. The only difference between the sheep and the goats, the sheep gave their heart and life and substance to others and recognized need around them, and the goats lived for themselves and didn't recognize nothing. It didn't say the goats didn't go to church. It said, didn't say the goats weren't a part of a ministry. It said when they saw people in need, they were like the priest and the Levite who walked by, but the Samaritan stopped and gave of his own. And he loved his neighbor. The priest and the Levite is the pastor and worship leader. They both walked by the man in need. It's not on an accident that God used that analogy in that little story. There was a man that was jumped and robbed by thieves. Do you know the story? He was left along the road to die. A priest and a Levite walked by him, probably on the way to a church service. Didn't want to be late. But a Samaritan, who was considered an outcast, a half-breed Israelite, a broke off, cut off nation kind of. Are you following me? If you know your history and Bible, they didn't associate with each other. That's why the woman, how is it you asked me for a drink, me being a Samaritan and you being a Jew in John 4. Jesus used the, see, the man tested him. He said, love your neighbor. He said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told the story, and the moral of the story is your neighbor's the man in need. Yeah? And they said, when did we see you thirsty and hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison, Lord? He said, as much as you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. The goat said, when did we see you? He said, as much as you didn't do it to the least of these, you failed to do it unto me. The only difference between the sheep and the goats, one loved and the other didn't. You can go to your church your whole life. You could pastor your whole life and never become love, never even pursue to become love, and let pastoring define your identity instead of relationship with Jesus. And you can live an untransformed life and preach every Sunday. And have nothing to offer humanity but doctrine and religion. It's not the will of God. Christianity is Christ-like. If you don't pursue to be like Christ at home and you take your kids to church, guess what you're teaching them? That going to church is Christianity. You're not even trying to teach them, you're teaching them inadvertently. If you argue and you show anger and you're frustrated at home and you live outside of Christ and don't take account of your actions and don't stay humble before God, but you make sure you rouse them kids up and get them to church every week because that's what we're supposed to do. All you're doing your kids is a great injustice. You're teaching them that going to church is the amount of Christianity. It has nothing to do with living Christ at home. No wonder they don't want to get out of bed by the time they're 10, 11, and 12 and ain't gone. Because there's nothing real there. It's all doctrine. It's all religion. Oh, thank you. Forgive me. I see a lot. I'm a pretty passionate fellow. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not Paul saying that I'm embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed about Jesus. I'm not embarrassed to wear a Christian t-shirt or a bumper sticker. What he's saying is I'm not ashamed to tell you there's a gospel so great on the earth that it saves a man by grace and not according to his works. He's in a Judean culture, and he was getting beat and whipped and stoned for preaching grace. He's not ashamed to stand and declare one more time, if it costs me another beating, I'm not ashamed to tell you there's a salvation on the earth that comes from God, not man's works. That's what he's saying. I'm not ashamed to declare it. If it gets me hit again, I'll keep telling it. If it gets me killed, I'll keep telling it because I'm never going to die. You'll see one day. See, I've got that so burned in my heart that I'm never going to die. Death should never be our motivation in prayer. You have a loved one that's diagnosed with cancer, you're not praying because of the fear of death or human sentiment or you don't want them to die. You're praying because of the promise of life, because of covenant, because of the Spirit of the living God. Yeah. Human sentiment does not release the power of God. It's faith working through love and the authority of His name. And you have no authority over what you fear. You just have a cross-fingered hope in a promise book you're quoting night and day. But faith says to the mountain, and the mountain says, yes, sir. Come on, it's in your Bible. So faith isn't revealed through speaking to the mountain. Faith is revealed through the mountain obeying. There's a lot of people shouting at a lot of mountains, but they're coming from a lot of different places. Y'all with me? I know I'm throwing a lot on you on that one. It's a big topic. We'll cover it a little later. Look, you go in a hospital and they're dying, and I've heard it prayed 1,000 times. God, if you just heal them right now, everybody will be amazed. The doctors will be turned upside down, and all the nurses will, and everybody will know, and da 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 da. That is not why He heals that person. He heals them because He loves them. And He sent His Son to save them and set them free. God doesn't need you to PR Him and doesn't need to do that stuff. And He's not, His hands aren't tied. He's intimate. He's personal. He heals because He loves. He doesn't heal because you plea bargain and come up with this great scenario of what would be, how it would be if He healed right now and how everybody would be astounded. That's to take it away from the personal, intimate value of the individual. They're not a marketing tool for the kingdom. They were paid for at a high price. Are you following me? When it happened to the man with the withered hand. They wanted to trap him, guys. It's in your Bible in Luke. It's in your Bible in Matthew. He's got a withered hand, and they say, "Teacher, tell us." They didn't care about the man. It says they asked this question in order that they might trap him as he healed on the Sabbath in front of the people. And then they could accuse him as a heretic, a blasphemer, a sinner. They said, "Tell us, teacher, is it lawful?" I mean, the man's somewhere in the room. They're exploiting this poor fella. They're like, "Is it lawful to heal?" Who's this guy? On the Sabbath? He said, "Let me ask you. Who of you in this room having a sheep falls into a pit wouldn't lift it out on the Sabbath? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep?" Do you hear his answer? Sabbath or no Sabbath, man, come on. What is wrong with you people? He's crying out. He's not mean. He's not mad. He's going, "You pull your own animal out of a pit on the Sabbath. And this man needs healing. How much more value does he have than your sheep that you'd rescue on the Sabbath? What's he saying? I'm not healing him because it's the right day, the wrong day, or because of your faith or his. I'm healing him because I love him and I know who he is and he's worth it. Sir, stretch forth your hand. Bam! No faith in the room. Wrong day according to their law. Trickery, trappery, and treachery in the room. And it doesn't face the Son of God. Why? Because love never fails. It's the gospel, man. It's good tidings. Calm down, Dan. Great joy. Nobody loved that man except for Jesus. There was a lady 18 years bent over. They go to the temple every day on Sabbath and have some kind of ceremonial ritual and service, if you will. So technically, they go to church a lot. In 18 years, those folks went to church a lot. Jesus comes into church that day. He showed up. That's good, Pastor. When Jesus comes, that's a better service. So they're doing church, but Jesus came that day, messed it all up. It's amazing. He comes to church and guess what he focuses on? A lady that's bent over. His heart went out to her. He said, how is it this woman, a daughter from Abraham, that's received the promise of the blessing through Abraham, is bound with this infirmity? Shouldn't she be loosed? And they're all thinking, but it's the Sabbath. How long has she been bent over? 18 years. Jesus said, ought she not be loosed? He walks over to her, he says, woman, thou art loose. And immediately, it says she was straightway in the King James. The Pharisees got really ticked off and they said, man has 6 days to work. He shouldn't be working on the Sabbath. Now here's my thought. She's been like that for 18 years. They had 18 years of 6 days a week and no one helped her. So a man comes on the wrong day and helps her and they have an issue. Why? Because they're powerless. They can't help her and they're proud and they're fallen and they need saved. They don't even care that a woman was made well. They care that they couldn't help her and he did and now they're confronted. Man has 6 days to work. Well, where have you been for 6 days, 18 years in a row? If you could have helped her, why didn't you? You had a lot of time on your hands. Come on. See, you better see this stuff when you read your Bible. People say, well, God doesn't heal everybody. He went to that porch and there was all those folks there. And there was porches and porches of beds. And they do their historical studies and they do all their Bible data. And now there was like 1,000 sick people or whatever their numbers are. And they say, he only healed one. And they don't read the next two verses that he slipped away because they were all running to him and crowding him after that man got up after 38 years. Said Jesus slipped away from the crowd because the people were coming. Why? Because they're always trying to make him natural king. They're trying to take him and in the natural make him king. And it would have caused him. He wasn't here to be their natural king wearing a crown. So he slipped away from the crowd. What would have happened if all those porches would have cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? That would have been interesting. What, do you think he only healed one because he only wanted to heal one? He healed one and they freaked out and they're all running to him, mobbing him, and he slipped away. He said, whoop, this is getting tight. How many times did he say, don't tell anybody what I've done? And what did they do? They ran and told everybody. Why did he tell them not to tell anybody? Because he was trying to suppress that thing that the people were trying to make him natural king. It was pretty intense when he rode in on a donkey that day. They wanted to do it. It's not that he didn't want anybody to know. He was trying to control the people that way. It was something he was doing to keep that part. So did he not want to heal the rest of the people in the porches? Here's what's funny about the man at the pool. When all the porches are sick, the angel would come and stir the water. You guys know? It's John 5. It's there. He would see, Jesus is the stirred water. Jesus is the stirred water. The pool's stirred. Here's what it says. It says, because he's Jehovah Rapha, he's the God that healeth thee. It's an old covenant thing. God was always a healer. Even in the wilderness, there was no feeble. God's been Jehovah Rapha from the beginning. So it just kept the healing covenant in front of the people. It was pointing to the stirred water that was coming. But here's what it says. When the water was stirred, whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever. So nothing's a limit to God. Whoever and whatever is all inclusive. Those terms are in your Bible for a reason. On that day, Jesus goes over to a man and he says, "Sir, do you want to be healed?" It always fascinated me, Pastor Mark. I forget, this fellow's been sick for 38 years. Every time the water stirs, he tries to drag in and somebody gets in before him. And Jesus comes up and says, "Do you want to be healed?" You'd think he'd have said, "What, are you some kind of wise guy? What do you mean, do I want to be healed? I've been trying to get this water for years." You think he'd have freaked out? I just never understood the question. But he was making a draw on his heart. And the man's answer is amazing. He said, "Sir, every time the water stirs, I try to get in. Somebody always gets in there first." What's he saying? "Of course I want healed. I have no one to help me." He's got a bunch of Pharisees. Why didn't they recognize that he was laying there longer than anybody? Why didn't they all surround the pool and say, "The next time this thing stirs, no one get in the water. We're going to lift him in." Wow. Yeah. Where's the love of God? It's not, because God is love. And they didn't know him. But they sure did a lot of church. Come on! Why did those Pharisees just stop the people? Stop every man for himself and say, "Stop. This man's been here longer than anyone. He has no one to help him. We're going to help him because the charity of God and the love of God would be pleased with this." And make a barricade around the pool. When the angel stirred, lift the man in and he'd have been healed. According to Scripture, he'd have been healed instantly. But guess what? Jesus had to come to him because there's not that kind of love on the earth. It's just every man for himself. It's survival. Get what you can get. You know what Jesus said? He said, "I have no one to help me in the pool, sir." And Jesus says, "Take your mat and walk." What's he saying? "I'm your help." What's he saying? "It's the will of God to heal. I'm your salvation. I'm the Savior. I'm the Christ that was to come. I'm here. Get up and go." He gets up. Woo! Rolls up his mat. Man, he's going through the temple. They're like, "Whoa, that's the dude that's been laying there forever. Come on, you know he had some swag to him. He was just going through that." He's like, "Yeah." And they're like, and this Pharisee comes over and says, "Hey, don't you know it's against our law for you to carry your mat on the Sabbath?" And the guy said, the man who healed me said to take my mat and walk. He said, "Who is this man that healed you?" It said the man could answer not, for he knew not. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He couldn't have had faith. Jesus healed him because of who Jesus is. The man didn't even know who healed him. He couldn't answer. There's no way he could have had faith. He just had a need. And what he told Jesus was, "I have no one to help me, but Jesus is the salvation of men." So by Jesus healing him, Jesus said, "Oh yes, you do. I'm here. Salvation has come. Get up and take your mat." He didn't say, "Well, hi, my name is Jesus, and here's my card. I'm the Son of God, and you can call me someday. We have a great ministry rolling on the earth." He just said, "Get up and go home. Get up and go." Gave his home back. Gave his health back. Gave him ability to get up and go. Pharisees saw it and didn't like it. "The man that healed me told me to." Who healed you? "I don't know. I just know I'm healed." Isn't that amazing? Don't make this thing as difficult and technical as we think. Don't say, "Well, folks have to have faith." No, we just need a revelation of Jesus. We need to know who He is and how He sees folks, and you'll see a whole lot more happen. The stuff I'm seeing is so fun. I travel like this every weekend. I preach this way every weekend, and I get people activated and praying, and God's just doing stuff. I just met these folks fresh again. They were at one time I met them in a Power and Love a bunch of years ago. They were there when a man was sitting there to commit suicide. He watched some stuff on the internet, came to the meeting, and was like saying in his heart, God, I need to get some encouragement. I need to meet one of these men if there's help for me here, da, da, da. He's sitting in a chair. I'm in the middle of worship, and I'm the keynote speaker of that morning kicking off the thing. And I looked back in the back, and I saw the man. My heart went, and I just felt like I wanted to go talk to him. And I'm going to preach soon. And I slipped out of worship, went back and sat beside him and said, hey, man, how are you? Who are you? What? He's telling me a story. I told him who I was and I was ready to preach and I felt drawn to come back here. And he freaked out and bawled because that's what he petitioned God and said about getting me connected with one of these men. I left the worship atmosphere. I'm mic'd up, ready to preach. I go back and sit down and talk to him. He gets wrecked, never kills himself, gets born again. We baptize him and his wife in the pool during service. So there's this lady there with brain cancer. She comes in a wheelchair. She's dying. And what was it, 2 or 3 mornings later, they said, look, you didn't even recognize her, really. She stayed in the hotel they stayed in. So am I telling you a true story? Brain cancer in a wheelchair. Brain cancer has wiped her out neurologically. She can't. She's in a wheelchair. But she ain't in a wheelchair in the morning. She's up there. You look up there saying, look at that girl. She's up there. And you'd have been too. No matter how you looked. Why? Because of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus raised from the dead in Luke 24 and he said, listen guys, all these things had to happen. It's written of me in the scripture. And they all had to come to pass. So that repentance, that's a change of mind. That's not boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Get that. Every life changer student, get this. Repentance is not boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Repentance is a change of mind. This is what repentance is. Wow, I used to think I'm not worthy, but I am. Wow, I used to think it didn't matter, but it does. Wow, I used to think that I couldn't amount to much, but I can. Repentance is changing the way you think. He said, all these things happen to the Son of Man so that repentance and the remission of sins would be preached to every nation. I'm concerned that we haven't heard the word clear and we, in all our good efforts to evangelize the earth, have missed the message. We're making it about going to heaven, getting blessings, prosperity, and favor, and getting a new job and more money. And the point is, God sees you as if you've never sinned. And God's given you a brand new destiny and a brand new identity. He has forgiven you forever of everything you've ever done. He has redeemed your life and made you righteous in His sight. That changes everything. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, who what? What did He do? And we still want to boast in our ability to commit it and think it's humble. I'm not a sinner saved by grace, church. I hope you don't have to wait till that day to find out I'm right. Read your Bible and you'll see. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And if you wake up and try not to sin, you're already doomed because you'll be conscious of your failures. But if you wake up and you're His and you know you're His, you'll walk out a life that looks like His. We read books on how to live the Christian life. I don't even know what we're thinking. It's no. Wake up and be right with Him. Wake up and be accepted by Him. Be forgiven by Him. Be cleansed by Him. Wake up and be clean and free and righteous in your heart, your mind, your memory. And say, thank you for what you've done. And you'll live a life that agrees. Yeah. Am I making sense? The power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for who? Everyone. So if you're talking yourself out of it, you're sure being deceived. You say, well, this gospel works for everybody. It just doesn't seem to work for me. That's a lie. It's for who? Everyone. And if you feel like your heart doesn't care about what I'm saying, then get alone with God and ask Him to make it come alive. See, God, it doesn't feel like I can even give my heart to what this man's saying. I feel like I've been so overlaid and so angry, and sometimes I feel like I just don't care in this nonchalant thing. But God, if what he's saying is true, and you really want this for me, and you've given me this destiny, then go ahead and quicken my heart, fibrillate my heart, and make me come alive. You go ahead and start praying that and see what happens. Because it's just a cop-out to say, well, whatever. You talk to God about your whatever. You submit your whatever to God and see what he does to your desire. Because if you submit yourself to him and you delight yourself to him, he'll give you the desire of your heart. That doesn't mean a new car. That means he'll make you start thinking like he thinks. Come on. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart. Doesn't mean you delight in him so you get what you want. That's like, okay, I got this dream house. I got to have this dream house. God, you're awesome. I delight in you. You're really cool. And now he's going to go poof and give you a house. No, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he becomes your desire. And your heart and his heart become one. Come on, that would be manipulation if you're worshiping him for an answer to prayer. That would be manipulating God, and that's not going to happen. You know, there's people that are praying for their spouse. Because they're frustrated with their spouse. And that's why your spouse hasn't changed. And you're praying and praying. And now you're mad at God and thinking God's letting you go through hell. Don't be reduced to another hurting spouse. God can answer your prayer because he's not going to empower that motive because it's twisted. It's not love. Hello? He's not just going to answer your prayer because you're hurt, broken, and mad. And because they're doing you wrong. He answers your prayer because it's before him and he hears his heart in you. And he hears love in you. And all of a sudden you're weeping for where your spouse isn't instead of weeping because of them. You're weeping for them. Hello? Why would God answer your prayer just because you're hurt? He answers your prayer because you're hurting for them. And all of a sudden God hears his own heart in your prayer and he empowers what's him. If not, he empowers what's not him and just gives you your desire and allows you to stay the same. That wouldn't be love. You'd become a spoiled Christian. Amen. If you treated your kids like that, people would say shame on you. Why would you expect God to do that? Hello? And then your analytical mind says, but God, why didn't you change my spouse? You're letting me go through hell for years. When is this going to change? And my kids and letting us suffer. Sounds rational. Your friends agree and they'd be hurt too, so they're the wrong ones to go to. When you try to get counsel from hurting people and people that would be hurt in your shoes, they're the wrong people to talk to. Hello? They become your false support group and everybody licks each other's wounds and nobody's healed. It's a sloppy mess. Let me show you how gross it is. It's gross. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I can't believe they did that to you. Oh, baby, I can't. Let's just pray for mercy. God, come and comfort. Gross. You see how gross it is? I'm giving you a visual. We call it sympathy. We call it compassion. We call it... No, it's just pain ministering to pain. You know how you'd feel if that was happening to you, and all you can give them is your feelings. Instead of teaching them the heart of God, stop letting what's happening to them become who they are and let what's happened in them become who they are. Come on. It's the love thing. We'll hit it more this week because I got a lot of time with you guys. I got to move on. I'm going to cut time here soon because we got to pray for some folks. Are you all with me? Am I saying too much? Are you on track? You guys on track with me? I'm trying to preach righteousness and I haven't done a good job. But I've preached some other stuff. Why is the gospel the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes? First the Jew and then the Greek. It came first to the Jews. That's why he says first the Jew. For in the gospel, for in it, the word it means the gospel in verse 17. For in it, for in the gospel, watch this. The righteousness of God is what? Revealed. What's the power of the gospel? What's the power of God unto salvation? The fact that God, through Jesus, is looking at every man righteous as if he's never sinned. And all of a sudden, he's not holding your sins against you. He's releasing you from them so you can get on with purpose, destiny, and his power. Are you following me? The power of God unto salvation. It's a word called soteria. It means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. The power of God that saves you is the fact that God sees you right in his sight as if you've never sinned. Do you see why regret is detrimental? Do you see why guilt and condemnation is detrimental? Do you see why shame is detrimental to this? Because God wants you to see, as soon as your heart's sorry, that's enough. I was just in a church and I said to this young man, son, I said, if I could pray one thing over you, what would be your heart before God? He said, oh man. And he started to cry. He said, just that I'd be forgiven of everything. I said, you already got that. The heart and the tears I see already qualified you. That's already done. How about picking something else? And it set him free. He bawled for 2 hours. Because he realized, I am forgiven. Because if I could go back and change things, I would, and I can't. And God knows that, so he changed me. See, you can't change where you've been, but who you are can change. And that's the only way God will ever see you for who you've become. And you'll never answer for where you've been. You'll answer for what you've become. Cool. And men might remember where you've been. And men might throw it up in your face now and then. And the devil's really good at that. You keep him a loser. Don't let him win on your account. So once God changes your heart, he's changed everything. You get it? You say, yeah, but I... Shh. Yeah, but... Shh. You care now. You're not the man you're talking about. You're not the man you're remembering. He's made a brand new man. So let's grow in that truth. Let's stay here in this program. And let's get a solid grip on who we're becoming so we can never look away. And we can run well for the rest of our lives. You get it?
Yeah?
Yeah, ladies, I didn't forget about you. I know you're over there. You know I love you, girls. Every one of you is worth the blood. Man, I'm proud of you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Why? Because in the gospel, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by. So what's your part? Believing he sees you that way. Believing it's true. And not letting anything change your mind. Didn't we cover that in Colossians 1? Didn't we cover that you're holy, blameless, and above reproach if indeed you keep believing it and don't let anything change your mind? Isn't that Colossians 1? Remember verse 21? He reconciled you to him through the death of Jesus Christ to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight if indeed you keep believing it and continue in the faith. What happens is people fail to believe it. They make a little mistake and judge their own heart. They slip into an area of weakness, but what they fail to realize is their heart's troubled over it and they care now. Who's ever come to you, Mark? Has anyone ever come to you and confessed something to you and they were broken and they were crying and they said, man, and they came clean and they were broken. Ever happened? Happens a lot to pastors and leaders. Sandra, has anyone ever come to you and said, Pastor Sandra, I just need to confide in you and share with you, and I thought I was past this, but you know what? And you're like, oh, honey, right? Almost across the board, ladies, hear what I say to people. They'll tell me something they did, and to them it's the end of the world. Because they've been doing good. And now all of a sudden they... And we're not making light of sin. We're not saying, hey, we're overlooking, just winking at it. But here's what I say to them almost across the board when I'm pastoring. I say, wow, I'm so glad to see how pure the gospel's made your heart. And they almost always say, pure? Didn't you hear what I just said I did? They almost think it's a sarcastic joke, you know? Because they're like bottom of the barrel right now. Judged by what they did. And they're like, pure. Didn't you hear what I just said I did? And I'll say, oh, I heard what you said you did, but I see who you are. And if you think what you did is who you are, you're in big trouble. Right. Keep your eyes on who you've become through him, and we can work through this thing. Because if you keep growing and the tree becomes good, this thing is going to die. Yeah. Yeah? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Wow. How do you beat that? If you're the enemy, how do you defeat that if people just keep believing? He's just relentless to try to keep your believer in trouble. And that's the belief system of the church. So you come crying to Pastor Sandra, and you've confided in her, and you trust her, and you believe she's an integral woman, and you can tell her anything. And you just bawling over this thing. And all of a sudden you look at that girl and you say, Pastor Sandra says, honey, there was a time not long ago you didn't even think about doing something like that. You didn't even blink or wince. In fact, you concocted it, dreamed it, and planned it. And now you did it and you're falling apart. My, you've changed.
Yes.
You've come a long way, woman
of
God. Do you get it? Because Satan's trying to steal your identity and get you to think that you're a product of what you failed in instead of a product of what he accomplished. And you're women of God in his sight. And if you keep that in the forefront and you stay fixed there and you worship him that way and you confess that stuff and you remain holy, blameless, and above reproach as if you've never sinned, guess what you'll start doing? Romans 6 says you'll produce the fruit unto holiness because you fix yourself on righteousness and present yourself righteous unto God. Isn't that cool? Same for you guys. Same for you up the middle. Amen? See, this is life changers, in case you didn't know. You guys are just up the middle. So I'm talking to everybody, but I'm emphasizing on the wings over here. I thought I was going to be in a room just with life changers this week. I was excited about that, but I'm excited we're all here. So I'm just doing my best to be personal because I just love the fact that I'm here. Okay. For in it righteousness is revealed. Go to Romans 6 real quick and I'm going to close and we're going to pray for the sick. Is that okay? I know it's late. Is it too late? Are you guys all right? You all right? No, don't encourage me too much on that question. No, it's not safe. Because I never finish, I just stop. I mean, I'm never done, I just stop. Like, it's rare that I ever hear the control tower say, bring it in, Dan. I just stop in midair. Stop. I know how to take off. I know how to fly. I've never really learned how to land. People have tried to teach me. It just doesn't make sense. And I've never heard the control tower say, okay, Dan, bring in, bring for landing. I mean, I see the airport. I see the runway. Let's just keep flying. You say, aren't you going to run out of fuel? Not a chance. It's not a chance. It's not a chance. You just fly. Come on, if the gospel changes your life, you'll talk about it. There was a sister sitting beside me up here in the front, and she didn't realize the whole life changer program thing and stuff. She just knew I was here and knew me from before and came to say hi and lives close. And I leaned over and explained life changes, and I said, you see these men? And I said it to my wife, I said, look at them. You guys, some of you guys is just, and it's not to compare and make out with somebody, but you can look around the room and tell that folks understand what they've been delivered of and that God has came and loved in unlovely situations and God has shown mercy when no mercy was deserved. And when you come to a program like this, it's a joy to me because folks realize that. And they're like, oh! And somebody will come in and not have a clue and just sit back and say, well, they're just being too emotional. You don't have a clue. Just stop. Stop revealing your ignorance. Just stop. Like you have no idea. And ignorance isn't a bad word. It just means not knowing. You're boasting in not knowing. You're talking about what you don't understand. Look, when I got saved, I was excited. I had people in church. It's funny how church folks are. I had people in church that would sit far away and sit back and go, he's just looking for attention. And they were being judges. Judge means to presume upon. Judge doesn't mean, look, if somebody's doing wrong and you call them on it, you got two young folks, man, and they're like sitting together. Well, you know, we've been raised in church. I know we ain't supposed to do it. Young folks. I ain't supposed to do it. Well, they don't always have to be young folks. Right. I've found that it's almost all folks. Amen. And they're like, well, you know, we ain't supposed to do it. And I said, yeah, I know we shouldn't be doing it, but, well, yeah. God will forgive us. And you're pastoring and you're a leader and you they talk to you about it or somehow you know it and it's revealed to you or whatever. And you sit and talk to them. One of the biggest defense mechanisms of a Christian is, look, you ain't supposed to be judging me. If it's already exposed, it's already. And they're not judging you. They're talking about what needs changed.
Amen.
Judging is when you're looking at them going, I bet they're doing it. And then you start treating them like they are. And you don't know they are. You just think they are. That's called judging them. Just so you understand what judging... Because we're supposed to talk to the church about stuff like that. We're supposed to judge one another on the things that are holy and unholy when they're exposed. But the church says, you ain't supposed to judge me. We're not judging you. We're not throwing away your identity. We're talking to you because you're more than what you're giving yourself to. And we're trying to get you to understand that so it changes. But it's a detriment to all. And it sets a substandard of truth. And it needs addressed. But if we make ourselves untouchable, then we're still self-centered and we're religious and we're not really as submitted as we say. That was just good preaching. All the leaders in the house are like, amen. No, it's true. You should give total access to one another, to your hearts and lives, man. If somebody's calling you on something and it ain't legitimate, don't get offended and say, well, you shouldn't judge me. Just affirm that their concerns are unwarranted. And if they are warranted, then make the adjustment and let's stay close, keep on loving and be brothers. Yeah. That should be simple. But if you got something to hide and you're in this for yourself and you're living in denial and you got closets, then you're probably pretty squirmy and touchy and untouchable. And then I guess that's already revealed. And then that'll probably need talked about. Come on, but if you don't submit to this thing and we don't start making ourselves available to one another, come on, how are we ever going to be a family and be the true body of Christ? Come on. I got to move on. I'm on so much stuff. Stop. Go to Romans 6. I'm going to just finish what I was trying to say there, even though it was good. I think it was. Romans 6. You know, Romans 5 is really tempting. I can't land. It's terrible. Pray for me, Pastor Mark. I can't land, man. Verse 17 of 5. I'm going to sin here probably. No, I'm not. I'm just going to preach the word. That's not sin. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. So because of one man, he lost the image of God. He lost the favor of God. He lost his created value, but God never changed. Love never failed. God never saw him less than that. He just stepped out of that. It died. Needed redemption. Needed a savior. But through that one man's offense, death reigned through the earth. So every man that was born after Adam sinned was born into Adam, or through Adam, so to speak. So every man was born into that fall. It's so simple. Romans 5 in the beginning of the chapter teaches it clear. That's why you must be born. We turned it into a prayer we pray to go to heaven someday. Instead of a transformed life. A putting off of the old and the putting on of the new. A water baptism that dies unto everything that ever was. So it lives unto everything that was ever called and created for. Yeah? If you're a good pastor like me, you hold them under, every bubble stops. You give them an extra 40 seconds and there's no movement and you know they're dead. And then you grab them by the collar and rip them up in face. That's a water baptism. It's not an ordinance. It's an expression of a transformed life. I've seen girls that were cutters in a season of darkness go under the water baptismal waters and come up with not a scar. I've seen men and women leave their glasses and blurred vision on the side of the pool because they could see completely clear. I've seen a man that went to a chiropractor every day because of a disjointed body and couldn't hardly work and went every day to a chiropractor. He'd come out and he said, man, I don't know what you guys did when you bent me back, but it was like you adjusted me or something. It's like, look, I haven't been able to do this for years. And I can just, I said, buddy, you don't get it, do you? He thought we bent him right. I said, I was preaching over and over, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And he went, whoa, that's powerful. What happened? Old stayed under, new came out. Countless healings I've seen through water baptism. STDs, hepatitis, things that we brought on ourselves, water baptism, stays under the water, bring them out, and they never have the diagnosis again. Why? Because God sees them as if they've never sinned. God sees them as if they've never slept around. God sees them as if they've never sold their body. God sees them as if they've always just been His. He sees them from the beginning. And they go under, righteousness comes, they come up, as if they've never sinned.
Pretty big deal, huh?
Hardly sounds like a church ordinance. Sounds like an expression of a transformed life. Sounds like a contact point of faith. Sounds like I'm giving myself to an act and a response of me dying and a receiving of new life through Him. He gives us those little contact points of faith, like the anointing of oil. Some people would disagree, but I promise you there's no power in the bottle. Power is in the person of Holy Spirit, and the oil represents Him, and it makes you think about it. And when you anoint with oil, you're aware that Holy Spirit is here. Yeah? You take the bread and you take the cup, and you do it as often as you do it in... So what are these two things? Contact points of faith to keep you thinking toward the truth. Isn't that awesome? And as often as you do it in remembrance of my death till I come. I know people get offended at this, but you could be eating a bowl of cereal in the morning and see the Cheerio on the spoon, and you could say, oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, you could snap it. I just thank you for your body that's been given. I just thank you. And you can just enter into a place of communion and praise and thanksgiving. And you're holding the cup, the bowl or the spoon, and there's still milk on the spoon. And you say in your precious blood, look, I promise you it's not offensive to God. It's remembering. You don't need the elements. If you're remembering, the elements help you contact faith and open up your heart. You get it? So it gives you water baptism to relate to the day you die. So the day you live comes. Yeah? Because unless you die, there's no life. Unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. I got to quit. I'm out of control. There'll be more services. I got to quit, man. I'm out of control. I promise you. The gospel is raging through me. I want to preach all night. We're going to pray for the sick. We'll pick up wherever tomorrow morning. We want to pray for the sick right now. Can you hear the scriptures of what I was saying tonight? I never preached on righteousness like I thought I was going to. I can't help that. I'm not apologizing for that. When I kneel during worship, here's the stuff I pray. I touched my mic tonight and I said, Lord, what a great honor to have this on my shirt. I said, in a minute, I'm going to stand in front of these people. I have no need to. It's not my identity. It's just an honor. I said, but Lord, you know my heart. I pray this to you all the time. If you faced them and wore this mic tonight, you know everyone in this room, what would you say? If you had the opportunity that I'm about to have in a minute, and it was you standing in person, and you addressed them tonight, what would you say? Let those be the only words that come out of my mouth, Lord. I'm honored by this. Thank you. And then I go back to worship. And I get up here and try to preach what I think I want to preach. I have a hard time doing it. So I'm just believing I was saying what he would have said. Amen. If he was wearing this mic. And actually, I'm confident enough to believe he's inside of me. Come on. Yay! Amen. Amen? Who's sick in this house and needs healing in your body? Let me see how many hands are here. If we could pray for the sick tonight, who would be prayed for? Come on. Once you raise your hands, I'm not going to call you up here. We're going to do something neat tonight. I'm talking anything that's not wholeness. Sports injuries, birth stuff, congenital stuff, aches and pains, dysfunctions, arthritis, stuff, man. Let me see your hands. See, the more I plow, the more hands I get. Just get your hand up if you're going to need healing tonight in some way. Okay, we got a bunch to pray for. Let's do this first this way. Some things you pray for, you'd be able to tell in a moment if they were healed. You'd be able to check yourself. Remember we had the one brother who turned his head this way and this way? That's an easy check, right? This would be fun for you. I just came from a church. Just came from there. Lady had 6 fusions out of 7 vertebrae in her neck. Those C1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7s? 6 of them were cemented medically. Frozen. So there was no more rubbing and bone on bone and pain. So she forfeited movement to try to get rid of pain. It makes sense medically, but she's created to move and bend and flex. So Pastor Mark's over on the wing, and he says, hey, Sandra, or hey, Sally, or hey, Sherry. I don't remember her name. And she would have had to go like this. Yes, Mark. She couldn't just go, yeah. Why? She's frozen. So she did you ever see a folk like that? Did the person just have to turn their whole body? We prayed for her. I had some ladies around her, and I had everybody praying for everybody. I didn't pray for her. It wasn't my fault. We just prayed. I just talked simple. I'm going to do it in a second. All of a sudden, she's just crying and going, oh my goodness. This lady had total range of motion. She turned to the church. It was the most awesome thing. She said, you people know me. I've been coming here for years. You know I went to that surgery. And you know I'm always walking and doing it. She's bawling. And she said, but I'm telling you, they prayed. And God Almighty touched out through. She said, look at this. And they went, ah! Because guys, she had a medical fusion. 6 vertebrae frozen. What is that to God if He is who we say and sing? Come on. In your Bible, He breathed into dirt and a man stood up. Whoa. Your Bible and my Bible says, Nick, it says it, man. He breathed into dirt and man became a living being. A brain, a spinal cord, a blood flow, an anatomy that we still can't totally figure out, and some of it we can't be. And you think He can't make a neck bend? God Almighty. A living being stood to its feet. Hello, Dad. Still can't even touch the brain. Man can't even touch the brain. He came from one breath of God. He didn't take a deep breath, I'm convinced. But even if He did, I'm impressed. One breath, Pastor, and man stood up. Hello, God. Bones and blood and muscles and ligaments. Now they're degenerated. We bought into a lot of things. Well, I worked hard. I ran a lot. I'm aging. We bought into man's experience instead of created value. Telling you, everyone in this place qualifies for restoration of things. You can't say, well, what do I expect? I'm 60. You show me one place where it says in the Bible that the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Christ doesn't touch you or isn't effectual after a certain age. You say, yeah, but people got to wear out. Where did you learn that? Life. Read them old boys in Old Covenant. They didn't even get that and understand that. Why do we buy in so quick? I've run for 19 years. Last year I was a little unfaithful, but I've been very faithful for look at this. This is just cool to me. I just love this stuff. I've run for 19 years, 5 to 6 miles a day, about 6 to 7 minute pace miles. People say you shouldn't run so much. It's hard on your knees. Who taught you that? Science, life, man's experience. I'm in a covenant that's way different. Don't tell me God didn't make me to run. He said, I'll run and grow weary. I'll walk and not faint. Yeah. Hello? Yeah, but brother, it's hard on your joints. You're still talking a different covenant. You're buying in. You're living something that you're not a part of. Yeah? Come on, man. Don't tell me because I like to jog that I'm going to hurt my body. I'm in fellowship with God. When I jog, He speaks to me. It's ridiculous. It's like a Rocky movie, man. I'm serious. Here's what we've done. We've studied fallen man. And we've said that's who we are. Why don't we take a look at the man and stay in covenant? That's why we're praying for the sick tonight. Now listen, there's some folks, if you're healed, you wouldn't know it right away. You'd have to check your blood, get a test. You'd have to work hard. You'd have to sit longer than I made you tonight or something. I don't... Do you know what I'm saying? There's some folks that have conditions that you can't test in the moment. Those people right now, and only those people we want to pray for, I want to teach you something real simple. If you would not be able to check your body after we pray and be able to testify if you were healed or if you felt changed, and it would be something that time would have to tell or a test would have to prove, I need you to stand up first and only you. If you wouldn't know for sure right now and you wouldn't be able to tell and there's nothing you could check, I need you all to stand real quick. Please, just do it quick. Just stand. Please, please, if you're sitting there and you have a condition, please don't stay seated. Be humble before God, because when you stand, here's what you're saying. I believe you're the healer, and I thank you for loving me, and I'm just going after what's possible. God, I want it all. Don't sit there and rationalize and talk yourself out and stay in your chair. Please don't do that. Wow, there's a lot of you. This many folks, you wouldn't be able to tell if you're healed. There'd be nothing to check. Are we all communicating on the same page here? Wow, that's probably the most I've ever seen. Here's what we're going to do. It's called the prayer of faith. And we're going to pray it over you, and we believe it's the will of God to heal when we pray this, okay? And we believe that God created us for wholeness. If there was no feeble among them in the children of Israel in the wilderness, and that's the old covenant, and this is a greater covenant, surely there's a sign there. There's something pointing to something. Right? If there was a pool, and he was still saying to the people, well, I'm Jehovah Rapha, and when the water stirs, the first in is healed of whatever, there's a message there. He's the one that was to come. He's here now. His name is Jesus. Amen? So church that's sitting, I want you to just stretch your hands towards these folks. If you want to single one out, fine. And just begin to release your faith. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of faith and authority. And I'm just going to proclaim healing over these people. And that these symptoms go away. And that their lives are changed. And that today is the mark of a new day. And this thing would never show up again. I'm going to be bold and pray it that way. All right? Now you won't be able to check it. But time will tell, or a test, or something. Somewhere down the road you'll know, right? You'll end up finding out, right? When you find out, and when you see that thing changed, make sure you tell somebody about it. Make sure you get your hands on somebody and you pray for the sick. Make sure you let people know and encourage people that, hey, we're on a roll here. Something's happening. God loves us and He's moving. All right? Will you do that? Like, don't just stay quiet about it. Let it have expression through your life. And if you hear somebody that's hurting, say, listen, I just experienced God. He just touched me. Can I just pray with you and just believe He'll do the same? Because He loves you. Not because you prayed right. Because He loves you. Do you get it? Let's pray for Him right now. You people standing, you got one response. Father, I thank You that You love me, You're for me, and You paid an amazing price for my redemption and my healing. And I just trust that, period. This is not a hit, miss, win, or lose. This is not a wonder if He doesn't heal. This isn't a point in time. Faith is the position of your heart to receive what He accomplished. And a Christian only has one response. Father, You love me. You're doing an amazing work in me. Thanks for restoring everything. God, my faith and trust is in You. You're amazing. Thanks for loving me. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, Father, I just thank You right now for the people standing. I just thank You for healing all through this house. Father, I just release my faith with the body of Christ and faith through Christ for healing all through this house. Every sickness You leave, every pain, every symptom You go. Blood sugars, You be aligned and healed. Pancreas, as You work. Diabetes, You leave this room. In the authority of Jesus' name. And God, I thank You that every symptom, everything in the blood that's not normal, everything, God, that every migraine and everything that tries to come and go and show up at times that's not You, that's not wholeness, would never show up again. Man, I'm taking authority over migraines right now. You will never pound the head again with pain in the authority of Jesus' name. And I thank You that no sickness or no disease right now would remain. Father, I thank You for healing Your people. I thank You for the finished work of the cross. In the holy name of Jesus, Father, we release faith and we thank You for Your unstoppable love. Believe this boldly, church. Be healed in Jesus' name. You stretch your hand towards somebody that you see standing and you just whisper, be healed in Jesus' name. See, it sounds simple, but it's not simple. Jesus paid an amazing price to give you that privilege. So don't downplay it. It's powerful. It's not too simple. Don't let the analytical mind take you away from the childlikeness and the faith. Jesus paid an amazing price to make what we're doing possible. Honor it, believe it, but don't complicate it. In Jesus' name, be healed. Father, thank You for it all through the room. Thank You for lives changed, symptoms removed, and everyday wholeness. Amen? And amen. You can grab your seats, guys, everybody that stood. Okay, listen, real quick. I'll be quick with this because I realize it's going on 10 o'clock. Who here, if you were healed, you would know it? If you were healed, you would know it. I need you to stand to your feet, please. Just stand to your feet. If you were healed, you'd be able to check and you would know. Stay with me, guys. I know it's 10 of 10. Stay with me. It's not that late for us. Okay. I want you all to help me, okay? People sitting, you're going to help me, all right? I know this. You're good with this, Pastor Sandra. I'll keep it real clean and short because we don't know everybody. But listen, I'm asking you to honor this for the sake of the house. I don't want you bringing your ministry training into the next couple of minutes. I want you really simple, just a simple prayer. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain you leave. Body be healed. And we'll explain that in a minute. I don't want you bringing in ministry training, prophesying, trying to move outside of what we're teaching because you got to honor this house, the authority of this house. We don't know everybody. I want you to respect that tonight, please. It's not limiting God or controlling Holy Spirit. He likes what I'm saying. You start to learn to live in honor. Amen. It's not about all this ministry stuff most of the time anyway. Sometimes we're just making things complicated and we think it's us. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer that heals. It's your faith in what He accomplished and His love for the person. If it's your prayer, no wonder we're self-conscious and no wonder we're trying to pray harder. Amen. It's not your prayer. Your prayer never did and never will heal anyone. It's what you believe about His love for that person. Be honest. How many people have prayed for the sick and you got very self-conscious in how you sounded, what you were praying, and tried to pray right? Be honest. Tons of us, huh? So it happens quick. We're trying to diffuse that. So when we pray in a minute, I'm only going to give you about 15 seconds. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to come and He's going to change things right in this room, right in front of us. I don't want anyone to exaggerate. I don't want anybody to make anything up. I want you in a minute to check your body and be truthful and tell us what happened, okay? I don't want anybody exaggerating. I don't want you trying to make us not feel bad or the people that prayed for you and say, well, you know, I'm feeling good and yet nothing's changed. Don't do that. I tease everybody. I say, I read in Revelations, you lie, you fry. We don't want anybody frying tonight. I don't want you lying. I want you healed. Okay, here's what I want you to do. We're going to do this as a family. We're going to do it in order, and it won't take that long, okay? But I want to teach through it. I want you to raise your hands if you're standing and need healing because I don't want to lose you in the crowd in a minute. Raise your hands, and somebody's going to come and claim you and say, hey, you're mine, and just smile and say, you're mine. So raise your hands. Everybody that needs prayer, raise your hands. Don't put your hand down till somebody says you're mine and claims you, okay? Church, I want you to get up and find somebody with their hand up and just say, hey, you're mine. Just one-on-one. And if I know we got a lot of folks sitting, so if a couple want to gather around one, but make sure we get everyone. As soon as they get you, put your hand down so we know when we have everybody. As soon as they claim you, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if nobody's with you. There's a young man right there. I need somebody with him. Black t-shirt, hand raised high, right there. Somebody going to claim him? You got him? Good. Okay, we got you. Do we have everybody? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Just take 5 seconds to do this, please. Ask them what they're standing for and how you can pray, what they need. Ask them what's wrong. Just give them the 5-second version. If it's arthritis, just say arthritis. If you injured your elbow and you can't open your arm, just tell them, I injured my elbow, I can't flex my arm. If you have a rotator cuff that's tore, just tell them, my rotator cuff's tore, I need a shoulder healing. Just be 5 seconds. You should know. We all good? Does anybody not know? Does everybody know what you're praying for? Okay, good. You guys are like so cooperative. Do you notice we don't have any music playing? Do you notice how it almost feels dry and rigid in the room? It's on purpose. Because it has nothing to do with you hyping anything, flowing anything. The atmosphere is the kingdom of God and it's in you. It's not always fluffy in a parking lot. It's not always fluffy in a supermarket when you pray for somebody. It's not always, ooh. You don't always have the benefit of having a rock and worship team creating an atmosphere. But I tell you, Jesus loves at all times. So we're doing it this way on purpose. Like it's not stiff to God. He loves people. But it's a good learning lesson for us. Now listen, in a minute you're going to pray for the person you claimed. Your prayer isn't what heals them. It's you believing God loves them and it's His will to restore them through the finished work of the cross. That's what brings healing. So these signs follow those that believe, not pray specifically or correctly right. You believe right. It's belief that releases healing. Amen? And the truth is, He's forgiven sin, so the price has been paid to redeem and restore. So anything that man fell in, God's restoring through the cross. Do you get it? So here's what I want you to do in a moment. We're going to take about 15 to 20 seconds, and you know why you're praying. You know whatever they told you. So let me give you an example. Say they told you their rotator cuff was tore. And you just say, rotator cuff, you be healed. Shoulder, you be healed. No more pain. Total flexibility in Jesus' name. That's how simple I want you to pray tonight. You don't have to emphasize the name of Jesus. You don't have to dig deep and make your words sound powerful. Just be sincere and just mean what you pray. And just know that the person you're praying for, God loves through the blood of His own Son. Make sense? It's that awesome. So it's simple. Rotator cuff be healed. Shoulder be free. No more pain. Total rotation and mobility in Jesus' name. And after you do that, I want the person with that rotator cuff to just start checking their arm. Checking in and doing what you weren't able to do. And in a minute here, we're going to pray. 15 seconds, 20 seconds, we're going to tell you to stop. And then we're going to ask you all to check your bodies. And if it's your hearing, I need you to somehow check it. If it's your eyesight, somehow check it. If you had cataracts, look at the lights and check it. But I want you to test your bodies. Okay? And then we're going to take a little survey. And I'm going to ask who's healed and whose body's changed. And I want you to be bold and testify. Don't exaggerate. Be sincere. And we're going to work through this and teach a little bit. All right? Is that good? Are you all ready? Take a look at that person quick you're going to pray for. Just look at them. Make them uncomfortable a little. Now watch. The person you're going to pray for, watch. Jesus loves them with His life. The person you're ready to pray for, He shed His blood for. And He paid for redemption. That means brought back to original value man's position before sin. And I promise you that was wholeness. The people that have sickness, stop taking it personal and thinking, what did I do wrong? What door did I open? Why is God allowing? Come on, sometimes stuff just happens because you're on the planet. Sometimes it's warfare. Sometimes the devil's just a jerk. And sometimes we believe lies and just think wrong. No matter what, let's put that aside and say, you know what? He's good and He makes the difference and I'm here to receive it. That's all we're doing tonight. It's that simple. Are you ready? Okay, you got 50. See, the reason I give you 15 seconds, you can't get in the way. You can't get self-conscious in 15 seconds. The longer you pray, the more self-conscious you'll get and the more you'll throw yourself in unbelief. So right now, you got 15 seconds. Just pray specifically, short command prayers. Pain leave, arthritis go, eyesight restore, be healed. Whatever applies, you nail it, okay? And we're trusting Jesus comes and does what's needed. You ready? Love that person. 15 seconds, 20 seconds, do it in Jesus' name. Thanks, Father. In Jesus' name. Thanks, God. Thanks for encouraging your people. Thanks for healing all through this room because of your love and your will. Thanks for encouraging people to pray and get involved. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thanks, God. Thank you, Father. Now, as you're wrapping up and you did that command, just thank God He loves them right now. If you're being prayed for, say, Father, I thank You. You love me. You do something amazing in me every time we pray. God, thank You for being good. In Jesus' holy name. Okay, our time's definitely way up. If you were prayed for, just thank God right now that He loves you. Just thank Him. In your heart, you can just talk to Him. Now, I need you to do this. Just start checking your bodies. Whatever you need to do, check your bodies. And I need you to talk to me what's changing and who's changing. I need testimonies real quick. We're going to walk through this and we're going to work with you. So don't exaggerate. Who felt something change and who has something different going on in their body? Let me see who you are. Check your bodies. Who's different? What happened? Now, wait a minute. Be specific. You had fibromyalgia. Did you have all kinds of symptoms? Enough to check. What were they? All over your body. You're telling me none of those symptoms are in your body at all right now. Okay, do you always have those symptoms? Almost always. You had them when they prayed. Is it completely gone? Completely gone. Stretch your hands to her right now. Father, we thank You. Fibromyalgia will never come back. Never again another symptom. I thank You. Her sleep will be sweet tonight. I thank You she won't have to try to find that sweet spot. It's just good to be alive in You, God. I thank You tonight is not a dread. Tonight is a blessing. I thank You she wakes up excited, full of life, and ready to roll. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. You feel total change in your body. Isn't that awesome? Who else changed in your body? Let me see. What happened? Can you tell you're hearing better? So just by being in the room and me talking and people around you, you can notice because it's your own ears. It's been your whole life. So it opened up. See, you would only know if it's your ears. But he would know, right? So continue to check that through the course of the evening and stuff. And maybe when you get over to the rooms and it's quiet, get somebody to stand behind you and whisper and repeat what they're saying. And then when you're doing that with him and testing him, all stop and just give glory to Jesus and thank God he's the one that heals and restores. You were born that way? And things have changed right now and you can tell, can't you? How old are you? So if you lived 23 years from birth a certain way, I bet you could tell if it was different. Amen. Who else changed when we prayed? Who received change? Just shout it out back there in the stripes. For 3 years? You couldn't do that for 3 years. And he just threw that thing up there. Come on. That's a big deal. You say, well, it's just a pinched nerve. Yeah, until it's your pinched nerve. 3 years. Yeah. Who else in the room? Talk to me. No exaggeration. Yeah, but he prayed. But here's the deal. The kingdom's in this young man. So you're telling me you prayed for him and God took away the burn?
Absolutely. I'm going to throw this away. I don't need it. It's gone.
So you're telling me that when you pray, God flows through and does things?
Yeah.
Amen? Isn't that awesome? Anybody else? Talk to me real quick. Who else has changed? Ongoing, very easy to locate. Did you try that? Oh, that was easy. Yeah? Ooh. Look, I was even more south than I am now, and this pastor was born with a congenital hip disease, and he could only go to here, and then he got 6 vertebrae fused, 2, 2, and 2, and he was a board. 2 men stood around him and prayed just like that. He's got his fingers on the floor. He can't come up. He's just bawling. His wife's going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This man has never gone past here. 15 seconds of 2 men praying, believing, he's touching the floor and he has 6 discs fused and a birth defect. And God said, no. Come on, man. Who else? Talk to me. You'll be amazed if you checked your body and didn't feel much change or all the way change or any change. As they're testifying, just keep thanking him he loves you and keep checking your body. I'm telling you, things change while even people are testifying and you keep checking your body. Don't get discouraged and don't say, why ain't I getting healed? Check your body. Thank God he loves you. You always have one response. You're for me. You love me. You're doing a good thing. Thanks for your love. Go ahead, man. Good. You try to come back and just get it hurting. You just felt it change, tighten up. It feels solid. It feels like you could trust it and put and turn and move and wait. So you'd be able to cut and move and drive now, huh? All right, man. What about your shoulder? Okay. Now listen, they've been praying. He's been feeling better, etc. All we did tonight is just make it real simple. Didn't play no music. Atmosphere almost feels a little dry. But Jesus ain't dry. And he loves folks. Amen. Who else was healed? Who else knows their body's changed? What, honey? It just opened up and you feel refreshed. You just feel good. Yeah, and that thing ain't passing around no more. Does anybody else feel like they got that thing? And everybody good? You feel it right now? Does it seem like it's on you, girls?
Yes.
Okay, grab hands. Hold hands. Hold hands. Yeah. Stretch your hands to them, church. Father, I thank you this thing will spread no more. I thank you these girls, if they got anything, they've got you.
Yes.
And I just thank you, if they've got anything, they've got freedom.
Thank you, God.
Man, you're going to enjoy this. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to bring liberty right down this line. Holy Spirit, breathe right through these girls and bring clarity and freedom to their sinuses, to their heads, to their noses, to the respiratory. Jesus' name, be healed. Be absolutely free. And Father, I thank you there's not one more episode, outbreak, or expression of sinus, flu, sickness, nothing. In fact, we called this whole girl's wing over here. Blessed and whole. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's really good. Yeah, be free. be free and be whole. Yeah, it's really good. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. He loves you. It's that much. Take a deep breath for me now. You are a trip. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You all good? Okay. No more sickness in this house, girls. You are a group of women of God. Listen, you run together, cheer each other on, stay encouraged, and encourage one another. Okay? All right? Okay. Who else? Who else? Who else? Anybody we missed that you know you were healed when we prayed? Wait a minute. You were wearing this? She got it off. What weren't you? What happened? What's going on? A ligament problem. Okay. 4 weeks in the cast. What haven't you been able to do? How do you know it changed? You couldn't stand on your toes and put pressure. What would that have done? Hurt really bad? Would you have had the strength and support? Would it have collapsed on you, or would it just hurt real bad? Both. No support, wouldn't have held, and it would have hurt bad to try. And now you're able to put tension on your foot and lift your toe, and you know that it's different? I was in a service in West Virginia. I was just telling my wife, in a service in West Virginia, I had nothing to do with it. I had two ladies that surrounded a lady. She had a thing the whole way up to her hip. She had 11 breaks in her leg. 11 fractures and breaks, and was supposed to wear that thing for 12 weeks. She had it on for 4 days, 5 days, something like that. 11 breaks. Just came from the doctor. This is bad. We're going to let it set. And then I think down the road, they want to check it and see what they had to spruce up with pins, screws, whatever. But a lot of them were fractures and cracks, and they were hoping they'd heal. It was 11 of them. When the girls prayed for her in the service, she hadn't been wearing the thing a week. She's supposed to wear 12. She started to cry and say, "Oh my God, I feel the Lord mending my bones." We don't know what she meant. We just know she was saying it. I made sure she was like smart doing it, but I told her, "Look, I'm not a doubter or an unbeliever. I just don't want you in a bunch of emotions taking a thing off. Do you even know how to take it off?" She said, "I can take it off." She said, "Sir." I mean, she's talking to me like I was a doubter or an unbeliever. She said, "Sir, I felt him mend my bones." And I'm like, "What are you going to do, Pastor?" I said, "Take it off." She took it off and walked all around. Completely restored. And the next day went to lunch with me and the pastor and wore little high heel shoes. See, I told you I haven't seen enough. But I've seen too much to change my mind. Who else? Who else? Yes, ma'am. That's right. You had your hand. But your stomach went away, the burning. Your back's still hurting. That's making you cry, that your stomach. You know God's doing something, don't you? You love Him, don't you? But you've been hurting for how long? Put your hand on her back right now. Church, we're going to pray for her. Come on, we're the body of Christ. He took the burning out of her stomach when they prayed. This was my second thing I was going to get to, but I'm taking so long. She's just helping me get along there. Because some of us feel somewhat healed in this room. You feel a little better, but not all the way, so you ain't raising your hand. But I'm telling you, that thing can change. So God took the burning out of her stomach. It's been burning for 4 weeks, and her back's been hurting bad. And hurt. The stomach, too, has been hurting. That all went away when they prayed. Your back's been hurting. Just pray right now, one of you ladies, just say it out loud. I don't care who. Back be healed, no more pain. Just speak it out loud. Completely free. Never again. Never again. No more pain. In Jesus' name. Because He loves you. Yeah, move it around a little. Check it a little. Bend it a little. God, I thank You for holding us. You're not under any pressure. You don't have to produce or prove anything. I just want You to check it and let grace tell You what's going on. God, I thank You more than before. I thank You liberty and freedom. And I thank You no more infirmity. No more inflamed. Yeah. You're feeling changing as we're talking. Just keep doing that if you're okay doing it. I'm not asking you to do anything foolish. I mean, if you want cartwheel in a minute, I'm okay with it. But just, I'm not asking you to cartwheel. Okay? I know you do. But just keep bending as I'm talking and flowing. I just want to say some things over you. Discs, you line up. Vertebrae, you be whole. Every muscle and every nerve, you come into alignment in the authority of Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for healing a woman right now that you so love. In Jesus' name, complete wholeness. No restriction in the authority of King Jesus. Thanks, Father. More and more liberty. That's right. No more pain. No more pain. No more pain. Do that side to side thing because I feel like that was hard for you. Was that hard to do like this? It was. Do it for me right now. Just do it. Don't force it. Just do it. Tell me what's going on in there. Still catching you? Is it still hurting? It's easing as you're moving and bending? You just stand there and cry a little and let him love on you just for a second or so. And he's doing something in you. You know it, don't you? That's why you're crying. I'm telling you, that's going away. That's leaving you. Oh, I know it. I know it. I just wanted to see it right away so we just rejoice with you and hug you and stuff. But it's coming out of you. You can tell it. You can feel it getting better and better. Anybody else that we missed that was completely healed when we prayed? Real quick, anybody? Everybody good? Okay. Who felt somewhat changed, you just didn't feel all the way changed? Whether it was 20, 40, 60, 80%, you feel somewhat better. I'm not going to take long with this, but we're going to touch you quick. I'm just going to point to a few. What? Give me an example. What happened? You what? You couldn't move them? What was wrong that you couldn't move them, honey? You had numbness? Whoa. Really? And you couldn't do that like you can now? So now you have coordination is what you're saying. You can actually... You still feel a little limited, a little restricted, like you have to really think and concentrate? Do it again for me. Just do it some more. I just feel like as we're talking, it's going to get better even. He's just making things new. Making things new. Jesus, you breathed into dirt and a man stood up. You can breathe on her neurologically. You can breathe on her spine. You can breathe on her brain. Breathe, great Holy Spirit, and make things new. Thank you. How else can you check your body? What else would it... Do you have feeling? Cook?
Yeah,
and he'll be happy?
I wasn't able to.
I think I heard him whisper, amen, praise
amen.
The Lord.
I ate frozen dinners for almost a month.
Okay, so you ready for some... Oh, you would have been able to?